That was 7 potatoes.
Okay, good evening, everyone. So we've been discussing recently the topic and halachas that emerge from V'daber Dover, that which it says in the Pasuk in Yeshaya Navi, that you should honor Hashem from doing certain things, including Daber Dover. So we spoke about things that you're not allowed to speak about on Shabbos. And I want to now move on to the following, and that is that everybody knows that there is a big discussion in halacha, or a big topic in halacha and Hilchos Shabbos, is that of amira la'akum, about asking a non-Jew to do something for you on Shabbos which you yourself are not allowed to do, which a Jewish person is not allowed to do. And we know that the general rule is amira la'akum is also the general rule. If we had to just generalize, the rule would be and say, if you can't do it, then you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do it for you. Now, there are a number of reasons for that. And one of them is v'daber dover. One of the reasons is that, just like on Shabbos, you're not allowed to talk about malach and say, oh, tomorrow I'm going to turn on this light, or I'm going to sew a dress, or I'm going to drive my car. So I'm also, on Shabbos itself, I'm not allowed to ask a non-Jew, could you please turn on the light? Or could you please, whatever it is, could you go to the store and buy something for me? Because that's one of the reasons is it's a violation of v'daber dover, that you're not allowed to speak about malacha on Shabbos. Now, there are other reasons as well. That's not the other reason. If that were the only reason, so there would be ways around it. First of all, you'd be allowed to arrange things before Shabbos, if you know in advance that you're going to want the assistance of a non-Jew on Shabbos, so you could arrange it before Shabbos. But that's not mutter, or at least it's not always mutter. It might be mutter sometimes, but it's not just across the board mutter. And B, if that were the only reason, then it would be always be okay to do remiza. Remiza means that you hint. You don't speak straight out. You don't ask directly what you want. Now, we know sometimes that is okay, but it's not always okay. Remiza is not a blanket heter that solves the entire problem of amira la'akum. So now the reason is that there are other considerations in amira la'akum. First of all, besides daber dover, there's also the concept of shlichus, which means that if a non-Jew is doing something for me on Shabbos, we look at it l'chumra as if he's my shaliach. And shalucho shel adam kamoso, a person's shaliach, when a person does something through a shaliach, it's many times like he did it himself. Now, usually that's not true by an avera. Usually it's only by a mitzvah. If I could have a shaliach go do a mitzvah for me, do a mitzvah on my behalf, and I could get the credit for the mitzvah. But if I commission someone to do an avera, typically it will not be my avera. In other words, it will not be like I mamish did it. Yeah, I had a role in it, in that I encouraged the person to do it, which is a terrible thing. Encourage the person to do an avera, but it's not like I did it, because we say ein shliach dvar avera. He should have known better. He shouldn't have listened to me. And secondly, in general, there's normally no shlichas between a Jew and a non-Jew. When I say that I can have a person, a shaliach, do a mitzvah for me, that means a mitzvah. In other words, I could get married through a shaliach. I could give somebody else money and say, go give this to such and such a woman and give her this money or this ring. Give her this ring and say, Hareyad Mekudesh Eslip. Ploni, whoever, Reuven sends Shimon, and Reuven says to Shimon, take this ring to a lady. And he can even say to any, you know, whoever you choose, if he has a lot of confidence in Shimon. But, or he could say, Shimon, there's you know, such and such a woman, and we decided we want to get married, but I don't think I can make it to the chasna because I haven't done an appointment at the time that I had scheduled the chasna for. So could you do me a favor? Could you just represent me? You go to the chasna, and when it's time for the you know, the kedushin, you give her the ring and say Hariad Mikdeshes Leruvain. Your name is Shimon, but you're got Rabbi Leruvain. Okay, so I could have a person do that for me, but not a non-Jew. It doesn't work. If a non-Jew would give her the ring and say Hariad Mikdeshes Leruvain, it would not work. A non-Jew can't be a shlich for a Jew, and a Jew can't be a shlich for a non-Jew. So yet by Shabbos, some Rashi and others learn that the reason why you can't have a non-Jew do malacha for you on Shabbos is because of shlichos. Because when it comes to lechumra, we are stringent to say that there is a concept of shlichos between a Jew and a non-Jew, and even though it's an aveira. So that's another reason. And there's a third concept, is that even if a non-Jew does something for you unasked, uninitiated, unprovoked or whatever, he just does it on his own. But for me, I'm not allowed to benefit from it on Shabbos. Let's say if I'm sitting in a dark room and a non-Jew sees and he says, "Oh, do my friend the favor," and he turns on the light so I can see, I'm not allowed to. Let's talk about it, my Nisa Deraisas for sure, and truly even my Nisa Derabanan if he did it for me. But what if he did an Isser for me, he did something that for me would be Isser to do, and he does it for me, he lights a candle, he turns on a light, or whatever it is, he does whatever malacha may be on my behalf, I'm not allowed to benefit from that malacha, even though I didn't even ask him to do it. And in fact, if it's not my house, if I'm sitting in a place that's not my own house, sitting somewhere else, and he sees me sitting in the dark and he goes and turns the light for me, I have to leave. I can't even stay there. If it's my own house, I'm not obligated to leave my house, but I'm still not allowed to do anything in the house that I couldn't have done in the dark. If I wasn't able to read till now, I'm not allowed to read, even though there's lights on. I'm not allowed to do anything. Whatever I couldn't do with the light off, I can't do with the light on. So even though I didn't even ask him to do it. So what I'm bringing out is that it's more than Dabra Dabra, but Dabra Dabra is part of it. So let's try to speak about some of the halachas. Let's see how comprehensive a job we can do discussing the halachas of Amir al-Akum. And it's multifaceted discussion topic. But let's begin with this. Let's begin with the concept of kablonus. Kablonus means if a person is working for me as a day salaried worker, but he's doing I contract someone to do a job for me. Let me know the word kablan. Right? You know, if you live in Eretz Yisrael and you want to build a building, then you hire a kablan. A kablan is a contractor, right? So kablanus means if I hire a non-Jew to do a job for me, and I don't specifically ask him on Shabbat to do it on Shabbos, he could set the time. It doesn't have to be done by any specific time, which forces him to work on Shabbos. So then, is he allowed to work for me on Shabbos? Am I allowed to allow him to work for me on Shabbos? So it'll depend. Where is he doing the work? If he's doing the work in his home or in his shop, and nobody will know that he's even working for me, it's okay. For example, let's say my car needs some work, some repair work. So as a non-Jewish mechanic, and I give it to him before Shabbos, and he's going to work in his shop, and you know, shop is there aren't people passing by, or even nobody. You know, people don't know what my car looks like necessarily. It's not very distinctive, or he's working inside the shop, whatever it is. Certainly not attracting any specific attention. He's working in his mechanic shop. So even though he ends up working on my car on Shabbos, even if I know he's going to do it, it's okay as long as I don't give him a deadline that I need the car back by a certain time, which forces him to work on Shabbos based on the time. Like if I bring it in Friday afternoon, an hour before candle lighting, and I say, I really need to pick it up Sunday morning, or even Monday morning, but he's closed Sunday and he's closed. He's closed. It's a job which can take a number of hours. He closes at 6 o'clock. I bring it in 5 o'clock for Shabbos afternoon, Friday afternoon. He closes at six, and it's a few hour job, and he has to order the parts, and he's not open Sunday. He's open Saturday. And I say, I need it back first thing Monday morning. Then I am forcing him basically to fee his work schedule. I am forcing him to work on Shabbos for me, which that I'm not allowed to do. But if I say, look, whatever, just let me know when it's ready. Here's the car Friday afternoon. Let me know when it's ready. And even if he says to me, yeah, I'll probably get to it tomorrow, it should be done. But I said, look, you know, it's your business. You just let me know when it's ready. So that's okay. Cause I'm paying. It has to be, I'm paying him. If a non-Jewish friend does it as a favor, it's not okay. That's considered he's working for you. But if you're paying him and you're paying for the job, not for the hour. Now he might cheshbin part of his cheshbon of what he's charging for the job is based on how many hours, but he's giving you a bill for the entire job. He's not giving you, he's not saying, okay, we're 3 hours times the 20, you know, $75 an hour, this is your price. No, he's giving you a bottom line cheshbon, you know, bill. And he's working, as I said, in his own. He's not working in my driveway. That would not be mutter. That would not be mutter, but he's working in his mechanic shop. That's okay. Or another example is the dry cleaners. I go to the dry cleaners and I bring a non-Jewish dry cleaner. I bring my suit or my garment in sometime Friday, and I say, whenever it's ready, it's ready. Now, if there's a sign there that says it'll be ready by a specific time, by 10 o'clock, you know, the next morning, that's already questionable because it's almost like I'm asking for that. But let's say it's not that way. No specific things. And they might tell you, okay, it'll be ready for pickup. I say, look, whenever it's ready for pickup, you let me know. That's I tell them, I might not be here till Tuesday, so I don't need. So even if they'll have it ready before, that's okay. Because again, he's a cobbler. I'm not paying for his time. I'm paying a price for the job. He's not working on my property. He's working on his property. And I'm not compelling him to work on Shabbos. Those are the three main factors. Whereas if I give it to him at a time when I'm asking him for back at a time that he must work on Shabbos, or if he's working on my property, if he's working in my house or in my property, let's say he's a lawn person, and I don't tell him when to come. I don't tell him. He comes whenever he wants, and I pay him. You know, I pay him a flat rate, $50 a month. He comes once or twice a month. I pay him $50 a month, and he comes whenever he wants. But that's usur because he's working on my property. He's doing my lawn on my property, so that's not mutter. Even if he comes on Shabbos, you have to send him away. And so you have to check those three boxes. Number one, you're paying him. It's not your neighbor who's doing the job for you for free and working on Shabbos. So you're paying and not by the hour. You're paying for the job. He's not working on your property. And three, you're not giving him a time frame that compels him to work on Shabbos. If you check those three boxes, it will be mutter. And if you're missing one of those three, then typically it will not be mutter. Okay, that's our starting point for these halachas, and Bez Hashem will pick it up tomorrow. Maybe we'll come back to this, you know, this part of it to just make sure it's clear, and then move on. Bez Hashem, have a good night. Call to bye bye.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Bye bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome.